Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
We believe from Scripture that each one of us is made in the image of God. Each one of us stands equal in the sight of God. That is, each one of us matters.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, Senior Pastor of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Our God is a personal God who values each and every one of His children. And we're called to value one another in the same way. Today, we'll see how the Apostle Paul honors and cares for individuals as we continue to see the power of the gospel. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his message, Each One Matters.
Are you good with names? Do you remember the names of people you meet? All of us have had the embarrassing experience of being introduced to someone only to forget their names minutes later. But today we'll learn that each one of us matters to God. He knows your name. In Romans 16, the Apostle Paul gives a list of names which we're apt to skip over, but that's a mistake. These names are given under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and each one is important. Very few people may know your name or know much about you, but God knows you. You matter to God. Join me as we learn of some of these individuals mentioned by Paul in this closing chapter of Romans. As you read Romans 16, it may be the kind of chapter that you're tempted to skip over. It's got a list of unpronounceable names of non-entities, people you may never have heard of and are not particularly interested in. But that approach misses a very important lesson. This comes from God. This is the inspired word of God. Yes, each name is there for a reason. So we can't dismiss the list of names. They may not, to us, be the most interesting. But one important lesson that I want to underline is that God values every one of us, that God values the individual. And if God values the individual, we should as well. Each one matters. I've called this message, Each One Matters. Christianity is always valued and respected the dignity of each individual. And in our high-tech, fast-moving, impersonal, technological world, it seems that we may be in danger of losing the individuality of each person. We know that communism and socialism emphasizes the state, but the Christian message is one that values the individual. And it is very, very important that in our culture, with all of the technology, which is very helpful in many ways, but there's also a downside, isn't it? We can live in a little cocoon. We can live, as it were, life through our iPhone rather than getting to know people face to face. And Paul certainly is an individual who valued each person. We believe from Scripture that each one of us is made in the image of God. Each one of us stands equal in the sight of God. That is, each one of us matters. You are created by God, and you, whoever you are, and whatever you think of yourself, and whatever your background or circumstances or future, or whether you're depressed, or whether you're on the crest of the wave, we believe from Scripture, as we will see, that each one of us matters. Paul, the mighty apostle, Paul, the brilliant evangelist, the amazing theologian, the great missionary statesman, the consummate pastor, as it were, must have met in his life thousands of people. Yet at the conclusion of this majestic book of Romans, which is, I think, Paul's greatest work, as it were, as he presents this magnificent, brilliant exposition of the gospel before he ends the epistle, don't you think it's significant that he takes time, writing under the inspiration of God, to refer to these various brothers and sisters in Christ? No, Paul is not just someone who preaches to the crowds, as it were. He certainly can do that. He's a man of God, who loves, cares for, and prays for, and values each individual. We matter to God. Now, we find find it embarrassing sometimes when we can't remember someone's name. We have all had that experience. We've been introduced to them, and you met someone, and for the life of you, you can't remember their name. Paul not only knows the people's names, he's able to give a brief description of each one of them. How many people do you really know? Are you interested in individuals? Do you make an effort to get to know people, to know their names, to be able to describe them, as it were, in terms of their service and their love for Jesus Christ? I find many people want to preach, many people want to teach, but perhaps not so many of us take time to get to know people. Now, if you're a recent follower of Jesus Christ, you may have discovered that you're losing some of your old friends. But I want to say that as a follower of Jesus Christ, you will make many, many more friends. I found that wherever I travel, all over the world, I meet brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, Paul had never been to Rome before. It's obviously, as he writes to the Romans, he didn't know all of them personally. He didn't know all of their names, but he knew some of them personally. And he'd heard of others. And we don't have time to go over all of the names in the first 16 verses of Romans 16. But I want to make a few comments which I think will encourage us and perhaps also challenge us to deepen our personal relationships at church and beyond. Paul is going to mention women and men, slaves and free. He's going to mention Jews and Romans and Greeks. All are mentioned. I want to highlight three groups. So let's open our Bibles, if we haven't already done so, to Romans chapter 16, verse 1. I commend to you, says Paul, our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Kenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Let's just stop there. Phoebe, says Paul, was a servant of the church. Do you find it intriguing that Paul, in these verses, as he concludes Romans, as he writes to the church of Rome, doesn't mention any elders, doesn't mention deacons, doesn't mention pastors? The first person he mentions is a woman. That might surprise some of you. She was from Kenchrea. Kenchrea is about 8 miles from Corinth. If you know the book of Acts, you will remember that that was where Paul got a haircut. And it was a port where Paul had visited. And obviously he had got to know this sister, Phoebe. And Phoebe is chosen by Paul for this very, very important responsibility to take this letter from Corinth, Kenchrea, just beside Corinth, to take it from there to Rome. She may, I think, have been going there for other purposes. It appears, as we read that, that she may have been a wealthy woman. She may have been a businesswoman, perhaps already going to Rome on business. We really don't know. But as someone has said, there she leaves Corinth and goes to Rome, and she's got the Reformation in her handbag. Can you imagine carrying the letter to the Romans, the original writing that Paul had entrusted to this woman, Phoebe? There she takes it, the tremendous responsibility, international travel, going from Greece to Italy. What do you think of that? What do you think of the fact that the first person Paul commends is a woman? You know, we certainly affirm women who stay at home to take care of their children, as many of our sisters do. But we also affirm, at least I do, I think most of us do, affirm women who are in the marketplace. Not every woman is called to be a mother staying at home. We affirm those who do, but there are many godly women. Phoebe was one of them, who in fact is traveling internationally, and she's doing it in the cause of Christ. Yes, she may have been doing business in Rome. She may have had other reasons for going there, but she, as she goes, she's an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Paul describes her as a servant. The Greek word is diakonos, from which we get deacon. And Paul may mean that she simply was a servant, or she may have been, as it were, an official deaconess of the church. In the New Testament, this word deacon refers to practical service to the needy. And it's a way of expressing our love of Christ to others through serving them. How do we show our love? One of the ways we show our love for one another is by serving them. That's the work of a deacon. And this is this woman. No, it's not a matter so much that she was, this is an authority position. It's a servant position. Paul, by writing in glowing terms of Phoebe, is honoring the woman who served the Lord with him. If you read the account of Acts, if you read the epistles, Paul mentions many, many women who were involved in the advancement of the gospel. The first convert on European soil was a woman, Lydia. Remember, Luke says so wonderfully, the Lord opened her heart so that she listened to Paul and was converted to Jesus Christ. No, Paul, contrary to what some say, was not a chauvinist. Paul always honored and respected women and served with many of them. Phoebe, he says, helped many, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. She ministered to many. She was a patron, the old King James said, succorer. She's a benefactor. No doubt having physical resources, and this godly woman, no doubt well known in the community, uses her position, uses her wealth, as it were, to help the cause of Christ. A benefactor, as it were, to the poor, to the ill, to the deprived, and to Paul as well. And so as Paul commissions Phoebe to take this letter from Corinth to Rome, he wants the church at Rome to have an open door for Phoebe. Wants them to have open hearts. This is a wonderful woman, and he wants them to welcome her as a sister in Christ. And that's why he commends her. Phoebe served many. She served Paul, and she served many others. And now it's the time of the Romans to demonstrate their love for her. I trust we value and honor our sisters in Christ who serve the Lord and others. Think of the many, many women who serve the body of Christ. Look down at verse 13, where Paul, if we can anticipate verse 13, but in this context, look down at verse 13. He says, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Here's the mighty apostle, brilliant man, and he is referring to this woman. He said, she was a mother to me. That is a spiritual mother. Wonderful to have a spiritual mother, isn't it? Not just physically, but spiritually. Remember Deborah in the Old Testament in Judges 5 was described as a mother in Israel, a godly woman who in unusual circumstances gave leadership to the nation. She was a mother to Israel. Paul here has a mother, the mother of Rufus. Not only is she a mother in the physical sense, she's a mother in the spiritual sense. Men, have you ever had a spiritual mother? I have. In the first church where I pastored, as I came right out of seminary, there was a godly woman. Her name was Mary Fran McNally. She would visit here occasionally. I went to be with the Lord 3 years ago, and very quickly as I went there, being the first pastor, no staff, no office, she very quickly assured me of her prayers. She mentored my wife. She was a spiritual mother to me. In fact, as the elders met, we affectionately, but also somewhat tongue-in-cheek, referred to her as a mother superior. In many cases, she was wiser than the elders. And we learned very quickly to listen to Mary Fran McNally, a mother to us, a mother to me. When I was working on my doctorate, she was living then in Wilmington here in North Carolina, and she invited me down, and I spent several days with my books in front of me in prayer as I began work on my doctorate. What a gift. Let me ask you, sisters in Christ, are you a mother to people? Men, are you a spiritual father to someone? It's so easy, isn't it, in life, just to become so self-focused. We're concerned with our physical family, that's right, and a few people. But here is a thought for us. I want to be a spiritual father. You want sisters to be a spiritual mother, isn't there? There are many people who are pretty clueless in life, and perhaps their own father or their own mother weren't particularly godly, perhaps they're unsaved, and how wonderful it is when you come close to them and act as a spiritual mother or father. Rufus, incidentally, may have been the son of Simon of Cyrene. Remember the man who carried the cross of Jesus in Mark chapter 15, verse 21? Rufus and Simon, rather, and his son was Rufus, and that may have been the man that Paul is referring to here in verse 13. So first, Paul commends Phoebe as a servant to the church. Secondly, he commends in verses 3 through 16, Prisca, Aquila, Mary, Urbanus, Tryphena, Tryphosa, and Persis as workers for the saints. Let me read from verse 13. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their lives for my life. As I read, notice the word work. Here's the first one, verse 3. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only do I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They're well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord. There we have it again. Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who's been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Notice the references to work. Paul is commending brothers and sisters who worked in the service of Christ. Now, the first reference there in verse 3 is to Priscilla and Aquila. They're described as my fellow workers. And the emphasis is on these brothers and sisters who worked hard in the service of Christ. For example, think of this commendation to this woman called Mary. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Do you work hard in the service of Jesus? Alexander McLaren was a preacher in the 19th century in England, and he always said that preaching was hard work. And he said he could never prepare in his study at home, preaching. He could never go to the study with his slippers on. You think that's rather strange. And he tells the story that one morning, he was still in bed, and he heard the clump, clump, clump of the miners outside his door with their big boots on, walking as they did to the mine in the morning. And he was convicted. He thought, these are men digging for coal. They're up early in the morning. They've got their boots on. And here I am, lying in bed. So from that moment on, I do not follow his advice in this one, but from that moment on, he wore his boots. That's strange. But it was a way of reminding himself that the work of the Lord is work. It is hard work. Like these brothers and sisters in Romans 16, he worked hard. Now, as you serve at church, would you say you work hard? If Paul was here and was writing about several of us, are you someone like Mary who would say, this Mary, this Susie, this John, this Jim, this Bob worked hard for you? One of the shocks I got when I left my law practice and went into ministry was that some people, some pastors, some missionaries, some people in the parachurch ministries didn't work hard. I thought, that is strange. I was trained to work hard. We were making money, and so you worked hard. And could it be that in the Church of Jesus Christ, we would be lazy? That we would be have a sense of entitlement? Have we forgotten that our very service is an act of worship to the Lord? That was Alexander's McLaren point. If miners are working hard, how much harder should I work in the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And Paul mentions women as well as men who worked hard in the service of the Lord. Work implies consistency, endurance, and faithfulness. And can I say, as your pastor, and I'm sure I speak for so many of us, that we particularly value those of you who work hard behind the scenes. The majority of people may have no idea what you do, but you have worked hard, consistently, faithfully, responsibly for many, many years. You know, it's never difficult to recruit people to come up here. If I wanted to ask someone to preach or to sing or to do push-ups or whatever, I could. It's easy. It's never a problem to recruit for people to come on this platform. It's never a problem to recruit people to serve on a committee where they're going to make some decisions and then expect other people to do the work. It's never difficult to do that. But it is sometimes difficult to recruit people for our nursery, for children's ministry, to be a coach, to serve in the parking lot, to serve in the kitchen. Why is that? Because these ministries are behind the scenes.
You're listening to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a new message titled, Each One Matters. There's more coming up in just a moment, so keep listening. Today's lesson is part of our fourth and final series on the Book of Romans. And if you haven't already, you'll want to get your copy of this study's resource. To go along with these daily messages, we're offering a special guidebook titled Romans, The Transformation of the Gospel. This comprehensive study guide will deepen your understanding of each chapter we're covering in Romans, equipping you with additional context and insight, as well as resources for prayer, personal worship, and practical application. And to thank our listeners, we're offering this guidebook completely free. So request or download your copy of Romans, The Transformation of the Gospel by going to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And while you're there, you can also get a copy of John's previous guidebooks for chapters 1 through 11. Before we close, we invite you to join us in our ministry of sharing these biblical messages with new listeners around the world. Your generous contributions play a significant part in sharing God's Word. You can give whatever amount God leads you to give by visiting our website today at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. Now, with closing remarks, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Isn't it very comforting to know that God knows you? You matter to God. Today, you may feel lonely, unwanted, rejected, but God loves you. God knows you. You matter to God. And this means that individuals should matter to us. So today, reach out to someone and remind them of God's great love for them. Encourage someone. Value your friends, particularly those who are in the family of God. Don't forget to tune in next time as we continue to think of these names in Romans 16.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.